I'm in Hebrews. Amen. And I'm going to go to the 5th and 6th chapter of Hebrews. And we have some good word of God here. Brother Rick, you can just walk straight. I get all bending over too on these cameras from the side. Amen. Amen. Hebrews, starting with the last part of the 5th chapter and going into some of the 6th chapter. A little bit of a good word of God here that just reading it, we learn things. Amen. The 12th verse of the 5th chapter. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. In other words, he's talking to the church folks here, saying some of your understanding is not as it should be. You have to be dealt with as if you're a baby, as far as being able to understand when you should be able. But now, to teach, you're having to learn all the first things again. That's a paraphrase of what I just read. For everyone that useth milk unskillfully in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. And then in chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You may be seated. Amen. There's a lot of people study the Word of God and they don't know what they're reading, like the Ethiopian eunuch on the chariot reading the scroll. And the prophet said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, how can I unless somebody can show me?" And it seems like most of the world's like that today. They just don't know what they're reading. And you can talk to them about the Word of God and they can't hear you. And even it gets into the church where church people seemingly forget what they've learned. And it's pretty much universal. I'm talking to an audience much larger than what we have present here. Folks on the internet, when I talk strong, this is a teacher preacher with a group of amen people, and we're all in this together trying to get some attention from out there for the thousands of people, some of which don't know anything about God, and others think they're serving Him and don't know anything about God and not even saved yet and think they're saved. So let me hear everybody here say amen.
Amen.
There's your amen corner. They're all with me. I'm not preaching at the choir. I'm preaching and teaching. But because of the fact that we want to stay strong in the Lord, while we teach others, we ourselves need to be reminded the good, strong meat of the Word of God that is still there. And the strong meat, the good meat, that which nourisheth those of us that have been around for a while, it's not what a lot of people seemingly think it is. It's not necessarily some deep understanding of revelation or some teaching about end-time prophecy or somebody's ability to really bring it out concerning the end of time and the mark of the beast and the man of sin and all these things. That has really nothing to do, generally speaking, with what this Word of God that I'm bringing tonight is referring to. The meat that we need to keep us going. Amen. We really shouldn't have to go back to just milk. Although milk is something we don't need to ever stop drinking. And the Word of God. In other words, those first things that brought us to God, those first things that caused us to be so excited and so aware of our need to change and become what God wants us to be. Can you remember that far back? Can you remember how you felt when you first became enlightened to how much it is important that I make a decision to serve God? And when you made that decision and you started serving Him, remember how wonderful it was? Those were the days of the sincere milk of the Word of God. It was that was bringing you from a seed that had been planted, conception. It was bringing you to birth, a new birth experience. And when you were a newborn in the kingdom of God, some of you can recall there were times when you had to be babied. You had to have somebody to be there to hold your hand. It was easy as a child to not understand some things, to get your feelings hurt, or to feel neglected, or just to want attention. And sometimes children make mistakes because they don't know how far to go, to the left or to the right. Sometimes children are easily persuaded by people with strong influence who teach, this is what you should be, this is what you should learn, this is what you need to become. And as you're just beginning out in a birth experience as a child, you're easily persuaded sometimes. And that's why it's so important that we have a good church with good leadership and good membership and faithful people who stay consistent, who stay in the Word and don't just try to come up with a lot of new ideas to impress one another, but stick with the Word. The Word never changes. It doesn't become sour milk. Amen. No matter how long you leave it out upon the table, amen, it's still going to be fresh any time. But see, along with that milk, later you start growing some teeth, you know, and then those teeth want to bite into something. And the appetite starts longing for something more. And so you start eating. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Now that we have been around a while, it doesn't mean we've grown up and we're bigger than somebody else or that we're better than somebody else. But it means we've been in this long enough that we shouldn't be so easily to get our feelings hurt. I have to have so much attention or easily persuaded to go another way. Amen. We should know what is required from God. Amen. What God desires of us by now. I'm talking to you people that's been in church a while. Now, others that are out there watching that haven't been in church a while, you've got a lot of good things to look forward to. Then you've got a lot of disappointment to experience. And then a lot of good things to look forward to. Because, you see, when you're coming to God at first, you think this kingdom of God, the people that go to church, they're all perfect. You know, the church, there would never be a problem with church people. They'll never let you down. They'll never lie to you. They'll never steal from you. Church people are perfect all the time. They're just like angels. They just walk on clouds. And when you first come into God, that's what you think you see. People that go to church never make mistakes. That's the way children are about parents. My dad and mom are perfect. And you go out on a playground as a child, somebody talks about your dad and mom and tries to say something bad about your dad and mom, you're going to be quick to defend them Even if they're guilty and they're no good and ornery and mean and those people know what they're talking about, you don't want to hear that because in your eyes, Daddy and Mama, they're the most perfect people ever walked on the face of the earth, and they're the best people ever walked on the face of the earth, and ain't nobody as good as Mom and Dad. Amen? That's the way we feel about church people when we first come to church. Ain't nobody like these church folks. They're perfect. And so that's a lot to look forward to get in a church where people around you never make mistakes, and they're always full of joy. Nobody ever has a sad face. It's happiness all the time. It's all blessings. We don't have those struggles with the world anymore. Everything that happens, you know, you can just look at these church people and you can tell they never have a problem. That's the way when you first start coming into the kingdom of God, it seems like you never, church people just never have a problem. You're pointing at Brother Joe, right? He's, I guarantee you Brother Joe probably has some moments when he has to maybe just have a half a smile or something. I don't know. But, you know, we look forward to that. Some of you might have forgotten. Remember, don't you remember back when you really thought, if I can get in this church, that'll solve all my problems. And that was something to look forward to. Then you got into the church, and then you realized people are not what you thought they were. Some church people will let you down. Some people will challenge your very way of looking at everything. Sometimes there are some folks that can make you wonder why you ever even started looking this direction. And if it were not for the Lord and the good strength and the power of God that is real, most of us would give up because at one time or another, somebody is going to really disappoint you. They're not always going to be as perfect as you thought they would be when you headed this way. But once you get in here, you know, you've got some good memories now of those wonderful times when you hoped, you know, you had hope and you had this really looking forward to how good it's going to be. Then you got into church and then you heard a little, maybe some gossip or maybe saw something you wished you hadn't saw. Or you heard something that really, really disappointed you about somebody that you really cared about and had a lot of confidence in. I spent a few years of my young life with a bitter grudge against a man when I was young. Because he was a preacher, he was a man that I looked up to, had a lot of respect for. In fact, I told many people he's my favorite preacher. Seemed to know more about the Bible than anybody had ever been around. He could really spit it out, and I just loved to hear this man talk. I loved to be around him. And then one day I saw him do some things that really, really disappointed me. It shook me up. It shocked me. And then even that same day, before the night ended, he did some things that even shocked me more than that. Very personal things that really confused my young mind and disappointed me in church folks. And I spent several years holding a grudge against that man, bitter against that man. And actually, sometimes I had thoughts, you know, in prayer, in private moments, like, God, why do you even let him live? You know, it was that disappointing. But I was young. And I didn't know a lot. But as I kept going to church and kept hearing the Word of God and kept praying and being sincere before God, there came a time, I don't remember when it was, when that heavy load lifted. There came a time when it was better, it was more blessed for me to reach forward to hope again and to look beyond the disappointments of the past. And to realize that there's mercy with God. And there's forgiveness with God. And that we are instructed to forgive and to love and to not let bitterness spring up in our hearts, and to be kind. And those disappointments are back there. But you know what? There came a time in my younger life after I had held this grudge for a while and really had these terrible thoughts. There came a time when I started eating better food. Amen. I got a little bit of some sour stuff in my system. I'd had some good nourishment, some good milk, but somewhere in that looking at the faults and looking at the failures and thinking about my disappointments and all that, I started seeing the church as being that man, you know, what he did. To me, for a while, it seemed like he represented the whole kingdom of God. There were times that even words that I should have never uttered came out of my mouth. If that's what living for God is all about, I don't want to live for God. I remember saying words like that years ago. But you know, later I regretted that I said those words. I'm glad to know that God looks upon the heart and He doesn't just respond by words that may come from our lips when we're being just a bunch of brats that won't grow up. I'm glad my mom and dad didn't give up on me when I said a lot of things I shouldn't say as a young little boy and did a lot of things, got myself in all kinds of situations. I'm glad they still prepared a meal for me and invited me to sleep in my bedroom and provided for me, kept me going, and watched me grow up and make some more mistakes. But when I would come back and start to walk into the house, I never found the door to be locked, and they hadn't moved away. It was still home. It was still home. And how much more does your Heavenly Father care about you? Once we're born into the kingdom of God, we are His children. And then as we are His children, we start to go forward. We make some mistakes. But then we hear the instruction of the Father. And we are dealt with by our loving, kind, gentle, Heavenly Father. He supplies our need. He hears our prayers. He is gentle. He's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Whether you're a beginner or somebody that's walked with Him for a long time, whether you're somebody that's made a lot of mistakes or somebody that's just really been as faithful as it gets for years, oh, taste and see that He's as good right now as it can get. Amen. So these instructions are kind of like warnings to people who have forgotten what it is that they really got a hold of now. And He said, really, at this point in your life, you need to be teaching and helping others and letting others know what it is that you've grabbed a hold of. This is good stuff you've got here. But you're so involved with something else that's got you tangled up to where you've got to be fed with some milk, and you got to be babied and pampered and burped, and you got to have a lot of attention. Yeah, there are churches where they have a lot of desire and a lot of dreams and a lot of goals, but they spend all their time working on one another, because every time they start to go forward, something goes wrong in the membership. And see, God never wanted any of these congregations. I mean, the way we operate, this is a pattern that is established in the New Testament on how we can have church. We don't do it the same way every time, but we assemble ourselves together. And we have teachers, and we have preachers, and we have, you know, we have instructions on how to be saints called of God, how to love one another, and how to respect and prefer one another, how to submit to one another, and how to be kind and affectionate toward one another. We've got all these instructions in the Word of God. And then we have the call of God and the commission of God to go into all the world and tell others about this. And let the whole world know you've really got something wonderful here. Teach them that repentance and remission of sin should be done in His name, beginning at Jerusalem, and go into all the world, the uttermost part of the world. Be an example and teach others This is our instruction. And what this writer of the Hebrews is saying, while you need to be doing these things, we're going to have to work on the tools. Because the tools are not right. You ever try to work with tools that didn't work well? You know, you can save money. You can go to Walmart and buy some cheap tools. But, you know, when you start to try to turn something, the thing you're holding in your hand is supposed to turn something. It's the thing that turns. If you're going to get tools, you need to invest. If you're serious, if you really need to do a job, spend more money. Get something with a name brand. Something that's been tested. Something that has a good reputation. So when you go to work on that car or that machine or whatever it is, you're not going to break your finger trying to make something work that's just not going to work. Amen. Same way in church. Look, you don't need to be a Baptist. You don't need to be a Methodist. You don't need to be a Catholic. You don't need any of those brands, because none of anything I just mentioned, and I can name a lot more Episcopal, I'm not fighting anybody. I'm just saying those brands aren't good enough. If you want to settle for that, it's okay for now. It's going to seem all right for now. But I want to tell you something. The test comes at baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Spirit of God giving you the power. And those names that I just mentioned, for the most part, all the Protestants and the Catholics, they don't believe in that. And they refuse to accept this truth. And if you don't accept this truth when you really need this thing to work, it's not going to work for you. So it's not about the denomination of being Pentecostal or apostolic. It's about getting the proper tools in your hand so that you know you have power since the Holy Ghost has come. You have the power and the ability to turn things and to change things and to build things and to make things work. And you don't tear up your tools when trying to use them, because these tools are tried and tested. They're well-tempered and tested. And they're given to us by God Himself, and they're not going to break. The name of Jesus is the greatest brand that there is. And to deny the name of Jesus and settle for something cheap is not going to take you all the way to where you really want to go. And I've got a lot of Baptist friends, a lot of Methodist friends, a lot of people that go to all kinds of different churches. And I'm not their enemy, and I'm not talking against any of them. Some of my best friends are not Pentecostal people. They're not apostolic. And they are close and dear to me and have been for years. And I know, and I've seen them, and I saw how that they made that decision to serve God. And they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And they got all excited. And they've been faithful for years in these churches, doing all they can, believing with all their heart that they do believe in God. They've accepted Him as their Savior, their Lord. And they believed in their heart, and they confessed with their mouth. And they have not been baptized in Jesus' name. And they feel like they're saved because they are changed. They are changed. And they think they're saved because, well, the preacher says I am. And this is our understanding. This is the way we're taught. I'm not knocking anybody, but I just want to tell you, if you really want to get this thing right, and now I'm talking to people who are pre-church right now. If you want to get this thing right, or those that think you're in the church, just double check. Are you baptized in Jesus' name? And have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? And if the answer to those two questions is no, then your tool is broke. It won't work. I don't mean you're bad. It just means there are better things available for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But then once you get into this thing, you get the Holy Ghost. It needs to be something that you grab a hold of. The Holy Ghost is something that's promised to all of us. But we don't want to just receive it. When something is going wrong in your life, the power that you need is in the Holy Spirit. It'll fix anything. Because that's God. You got God in your hand.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah.
I'm not talking about general overnight delivery trucks or, I'm talking about you got the real God in your hand. Hallelujah. And when we first realized that, we shouted, didn't we? We started praising God and we got excited. And we started telling others. In fact, some of us had so much zeal and no knowledge to go with it, we just scared some people. I was in an airport some time ago, not too long ago, and there was a man walking down through that airport terminal in Chicago where I was changing planes, and it looked like everybody was either running to him or running from him. He had a Bible in his hand, and he was excited. And anybody he came up to, he told them about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? He was just on his way to change planes like I was. But he had that airport terminal going nuts. There were people coming out of different, you know, waiting areas wanting to get near him because they were, quote, Christians, you know. They'd been told they were Christians or they thought they were Christians and they had something in common. Here's a man talking about Jesus. He's not ashamed to talk about Jesus. He just talks to anybody and everybody. As soon as somebody just smiles at him a little bit, he would head toward him and say, "Do you know Jesus?" You know, in fact, I kind of hid from him myself. Because just with a few words that he was saying, I could tell that he's giving these people that are listening to him some false hope. Because he was telling them right there going to the airport, if you will just confess with your mouth right now and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came and He lived and He died and He rose again, I'll mark you off as one that got saved today and I'll get on my airplane and you can go to heaven. Hallelujah! And there were some actually doing that, following this man around and accepting Christ in the airport. Amen. They had a lot of hope. And I could give you a lot of experiences of people that I have known through the years who had a lot of hope. And they got stuck in these so-called churches that keep on using that false hope that was given them in the beginning. Now, to get the end of it and to be finding yourself standing before Jesus and hear Him say, "You never were saved. You never did take my name. You're not my child, and you've never been my child, and you were lied to all your life by your preachers, your teachers, and they weren't even saved." Now, if you hear God say that in the end, it's going to be too late. And the only way we can get this thing fixed is to fix it now. Hallelujah. So Jesus sent preachers to tell you how to get saved. Not false preachers, but true preachers who are not afraid of the name of Jesus. We don't deny the name of Jesus. We don't refuse to accept the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But after we've accepted it, we need to keep using it. We need to keep using it. Amen. And in using this, we find out where the doctrines that will keep us saved are. They are all through the Bible. The whole book is a book of doctrine. It's impossible to study the Word of God and find yourself living for God without believing doctrine. And anytime anybody says, "I don't believe in doctrine," I see ignorance written all over them. Right. Trying to serve God without believing doctrine is trying to ride a boat with no water. Or drive a car with no motor and no wheels. The whole Word of God from beginning to end is doctrine. And we are instructed to preach this doctrine. This is the doctrine of God. This is the Word of God. All the Word of God is profitable. According to the Word, it even says it is profitable. The whole Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for instruction, that you may be thoroughly furnished to be what God wants you to be. But there comes a time when we find those that have been, that have heard the doctrine, but they're not seemingly being persuaded by it. Or they've even preached the doctrine, but they seemingly forgot it and seemingly live different than what they preach. And they need our attention. And so, you know, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. And this full age is not like 60 years old, 80 years old. If you start learning the Word of God concerning the context of it all, it's more a full experience and knowledge and faith and overcoming victories. This is how you age in the Word of God. And to be old in the Word of God is actually to be young and be as a child wanting more. Except you become as a child doesn't mean, and you need to understand the context, except you become as a child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom. That doesn't mean that you're supposed to become like babies again and forget the doctrine and forget your instructions and forget where God has brought you from and how He's established your life. What that means is, except you become a child, you can't get into the kingdom, you can't enter. What that means is, be as innocent as a little child, wanting, trusting, following, obedient, innocent, asking, expecting to receive, sincerely respecting, trusting, willing to go wherever Father says go, knowing that even if you veer off the path, He's well able to grab you and put you on the right path. Amen. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of age, those who have learned to keep living for God when things go wrong and problems come, when the rug is pulled out from under you, things not like you thought they would be. Amen. You learned enough doctrine. Hallelujah. You had enough teaching. Hallelujah. You've had enough experience to realize, ain't nothing better than what I've got right now. Hallelujah. Amen. This is going to keep me. Praise. Amen. No matter what happens, I'm going to stick with this, because this is my answer. This Holy Ghost I've got is my ace in the hole. This is my rescue. This is my open door. This is my key that unlocks any lock. It breaks every chain. No matter how disappointed I am, I'm never disappointed in my Jesus. Hallelujah. So strong meat belongs to them that think like that, that feel like that, that experience that, that you come to the point in your life that it doesn't matter how bad the situation is, and you don't want it to be bad, but it doesn't matter how bad it is, you're not going to give up on your relationship with God. I've come too far to look back. Amen. I've built some strength in my testing times. Amen. I've been tested and tried, and I came forth as gold, tried in the fire. And you can throw as many devils as you want to, but when they're going to have to just bounce off, because I got a shield around me. Hallelujah. I believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And this discerning good and evil, that just, it covers a lot of territory. You know, you have thoughts that come into your mind. Amen. When you're of age, you know which thoughts to cast down and which ones to keep. You know which ones to keep thinking on and which ones to ignore. When you're of age. When you're of age, you know what conversations to listen to and which ones to walk away from. You learn that there are some spirits that look right, talk right, smell right, act right, but they're not right. They're out to deceive you. And even the very elect, the Bible talks about, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived in the last days. That's not talking about somebody being more highly favored from God than somebody else. The very elect is who we all are. We are the very elect of God. And we've been called to make our election sure. You are God's chosen people. He doesn't have an elect, select group above you. Amen. And He doesn't want you to go back to what you were, because He's still going forward. And He wants somebody to walk with Him in His Amen corner, teaching and observing all things whatsoever He has commanded, knowing that He's with us always, even till the end. And whatever we go through, He's going through it with us. Amen. This is strong meat that belongs to them that are of full age, who have our senses exercised. We got some sensitivity here that we lean in the good directions. We gird up the loins of our minds. We don't wander in darkness and fear and find ourselves thinking evil thoughts. They may come, but we get rid of them. Amen. You can't help what you dream. But when you wake up, you can tell your dream, don't you ever come back again. And rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles. This therefore is talking about you folks that have become like those that can't be taught the things you should be teaching since this has happened. Okay, we'll just set the doctrines aside for now. Let's get this thing started in the right direction and go back to it again. This is not saying lay aside the principles of the doctrine of Christ so you can be saved and go on. It's not saying get rid of your doctrines. There's a therefore written here. And in the Bibles before the books as we know them became Bibles, there were no chapters and there were no verses with numbers showing, you know. These are tools that we use in our books to help us to look up scriptures. Chapter 1, verse so-and-so. That's not in the original writings. The original writings here in Hebrews, starting what we call verse 14, there was no verse 14 in the original. This is just one continuous writing. Verse 14, as we see it, goes into, from there, ends chapter 5, goes into chapter 6, and starts a new chapter, but not in the original. And this is just our way of being able to find scriptures and look them up. But the original talks about everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. He's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Hallelujah. 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 Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, you know, we teach that you got to have faith, right? And it's necessary.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. And we teach that if you mess up, you need to repent, right? And that's necessary. But the foundation of where all this came from is where you were when you first discovered it. The foundation was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Accept Christ. Come to know Christ. Believe in Christ. Come to Christ. Get yourself humble before Christ and let Him touch you and fill you with His presence. And we went through that process. Amen. And it took some believing, and it took some trusting, and it took some obedience, and we did it. But the foundation that brought us to that was something that was already laid. It had been there since before our birth. We just discovered that there is something solid to grab hold of. There is something solid to stand on. There's something that is able to steady you, to lift you up and cause you to be upright. We grabbed a hold of this powerful thing that caused us to quit just blowing around with the wind. We found direction. That was our foundation. And now we're ready to build. And what this writer is saying, don't go back to having to start all over on the foundation. You've been on it for a while. You need to keep on building. But since you become babes again, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, go back, okay, let's go back to what, as if you don't know anything. And then let's come back up to where we are, or should be. Hallelujah. Of the doctrines of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection. This isn't saying don't lay hands on people. It doesn't say don't baptize. It's just saying, let's teach each other what it takes to go from being a baby to a full-aged child of God. You have need that somebody feeds you some milk for some reason. He's talking to somebody here. Somebody out there probably needs to hear this, because almost everybody explains these scriptures wrong. Okay, they think they got it all figured out, and they hadn't even got baptized in Jesus' name. They refuse that and call that of the devil. Hallelujah. They're not even babies yet. I'm talking about those that are and that have been in church a while. You've been in church a while and you know some doctrine. You don't have to spend all your time telling each other what you know. Amen. There comes a time when we should know it. And now we've got to be reminded of what got us here. Hallelujah. So we go back and we start talking about the love of God. The simplicity of God. The wonderful drawing of God that makes us want to be a part of the family of God. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to go back and lay the foundation. In other words, don't go back and just jump into sin and start being a notorious, ornery outfit. Don't lay the foundation where you've got to just fight your way back. Just go back, if you are a babe, just go back to drinking the sincere milk. Desire the sincere milk. Want it. Wow, I want my milk. I want my bottle. You gotta have it. And if you're not where you should be, keep doing whatever you gotta do to get back to here. So, okay, we're not gonna talk about so much, the doctrines of the apostles. We're not going to get into that right now so much. Let's leave all that. Let's talk about how to get you straightened out. It's simple. Love God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. Lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Go back to the basics. Understand that there is a true, firm foundation here where God started you out. It's still there. If you're a baby, okay, then you can eat baby food right now. But don't stay there. Amen. Let's start looking forward to the good things that'll make you strong. It'll make you able to do exploits for God. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I don't have to teach any of you that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. But every once in a while I have to teach some of us, you need to watch your attitude. I don't have to teach any of you that are in this place that there's one God. It's all through the Word of God. The doctrine of God teaches us that there is one God. And the apostles taught us that this one God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. These are the doctrines. You know them. We don't have to teach those to each other over and over. But we should be able to stand together and teach those doctrines without having to baby each other over baby things, jealousies, telling on each other, becoming a tailbearer, you know. Now, I'm talking as if I got 1,000 people sitting here, and they're all in each other's hair. And half of them wearing finger rings, half of them are not. They're sitting on opposite sides of the church. They're all divided amongst themselves. And what I'm really teaching here to us is stuff that we already know. And we're all in this together. And so I'm not trying to straighten any of you out. Unless perhaps somebody's here I don't know about, because I don't have this aimed at anybody present in this building. But we are a platform. This whole operation, the call of God and what God's called us to do, is to save ourselves and then reach around the world and help others to get saved. That's what this whole ministry is about. Doesn't matter whether we rent buildings, buy buildings, get a lot of money, have no money, whatever we feel that God has showed us we'll have or do or anything. All of that, it may come, it may not. We may have this, we may have that. We may lose it all, we may get it all. We may have the lights turned off, we may have lights. None of that. It's all beside the point. There's nothing that can stop us as long as we stay with God from being able to do what God has called us to do. Because we can operate out of a little storefront or a little basement or an attic or even down the street on some gravel road in the woods. We can operate with our cell phones, and if we can't get cell phones, then we can just go door to door. There's nothing to stop what God has called us to do in this place. But since He has called us and we've gotten to this certain point where we are right now, which just 10 years ago it would have taken at least $10 or $20 million to do what we're doing right now. You just think 10 years ago, just 10 years ago, it was virtually impossible for us to be touching as many lives as we are right now. The inventions to make it happen didn't exist at that time. They were, you know, it was accelerating. Let's go back 15 years. We were talking about doing this 15 years ago. We were talking about God is well able to financially equip His church and those of us that are called to do this work to do what He wants us to do. And we looked at some ways to do it, and just to get started was going to cost $125,000. You remember that? Just to get a few of the tools. And those tools wouldn't even do a fraction of what we've got right now. Remember, y'all went and studied. You went and looked at them, right? We had some dear people in our church that were so faithful, they were willing to do what they could, even though it was going to be a strain, but their faithfulness showed. And I actually asked them not to because I saw something happening. I saw that to only be that to be something that's just temporary. God is doing something greater than we've ever imagined. And we're going to have all that and a whole lot more in a few days, and we're not going to have to spend all that money for it. There's no way 15 years ago that we could have been all over this world knowing that we're touching tens of thousands of lives and telling people that we are here to teach you, and we hope that we don't have any needs amongst ourselves of teaching each other how to be babies again. Although if we have to, we will. We'll feed each other on milk. But when you turn on your computer, are you... You happen to join us wherever you are, on Sopcast, Shoutcast, on Pal Talk, on our websites, on our TV programs, on our DVDs that we send out. Wherever you are and wherever you join us, I hope what you see here is a group of unified people with one thing in mind, that we know that God has brought us from impossible places to doing impossible things, to where we are right now. And we know that it was by the mercies and the grace of God that He lifted us up to do this work. And we're not concerned about how many people or how many things we've got or don't have. We're happy with what we've got, because what we have here is full-grown people who have come of age. And we have no need to go back and lay the foundations again and try to baby each other and bring each other back up to this point so we can come to you. We've been there and we've been babies so many times we're sick of being babies. And there was some that couldn't take it and they just babied themselves right out the door and they're not part of this, and that's for your good. Because we'd be spending all our time still babying some of them that couldn't grow up. And we're not against those folks, but we cannot stop because somebody jumps off the train. Because God's taking us somewhere. They can catch the next train. Praise God. We got some things to do. So therefore, as far as our teaching to each other, you know, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we're going on. Amen. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. We've got some things to teach people who are not even babies yet. And we don't need to spend all of our time trying to fix each other and repair our tools as far as what God has called us to be. We are God's church. I shouldn't have to debate and argue, and you shouldn't have to debate and argue with each other which kind of baptism is right or whether or not you should or should not be baptized in Jesus' name. I think everybody here knows that, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Or laying on of hands. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time telling each other it's okay to lay hands on somebody and pray for them. So let's leave all that right now. You know, if you're a baby, and let's talk baby talk. Jesus loves you. Do you love Jesus? But we're not in that category. I'm teaching a lesson here to let us know that I see you as people of age. I'm not talking about 80 years old, 7 years old. I'm talking about experience and sensitivity and in knowledge of good and evil, what's right and what's wrong. I don't have to be the one that looks out for trouble when somebody walks in the door. For years, it has been just like if you see somebody come in with a bad spirit, you know it's bad. Nobody has to tell anybody. Everybody just knows it. We understand. And we're in unity. And I love it. Because it's not that we're enemies with anybody. It's just the devil doesn't have a chance. Sticks his head up and he gets stomped. Comes in dressed like a sheep in wolf's clothes, and we see the wolf and we don't see the sheep clothes. Because we discern the spirit that's there. Remember that couple of guys that came through this door, started prophesying, you're going to be flooded out. Thus saith the Lord. We had a lot of stuff like that happen through the years. Amen. So, and this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, still talking about, you came to God, you were born again, you grew up, and you became one that could teach others and be an example. And is talking to those who have forgotten what they've got, evidently, and they've got to be babied and pampered and everything. So if it's necessary, okay, then we'll do it. We'll give you milk. We'll teach you like a beginner again. We'll do that if God permit. Because it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Amen. Now, even this right here, to some people, is such strong meat that they can't take it. You'd be amazed at how many babies that I've had in offices and churches across the country who stumbled at this part of the Word of God. And all this is meat that can be tough or it can be tender. And whether it's tough or tender kind of depends on how you receive it, because God doesn't cook like we cook. Amen. It's your receiving ability. Amen. This is talking about that it's impossible. It's impossible for somebody who's once tasted of this heavenly gift to ever get away from it. It's impossible for you to ever completely get to a point where you don't realize there's a real God and you've had a real experience. Now, I'm not talking to the Protestants and the folks who haven't had this experience right now. You haven't even been enlightened yet. I'm talking about those who received the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you were sincere and you were a baby in the Lord and you started growing up and some things happened and you fell by the wayside. All you did, you might have fallen, you might have really messed up bad, but where did you end up? You ended up on the foundation. It's impossible to lay this again. It's impossible to get away from it. It's impossible to forget that God put you there. And just because a great wind came and blew you down, amen, you still have the same plan of salvation that brought you that foundation where you could build again. This is not telling you that you can't be saved if you messed up. It's not telling you that you can't be saved if once you've been a part of this and you fell away that you can't find God again, because that would be inconsistent with a lot of doctrine that's taught in the Bible. The Bible teaches us, the same writer that wrote this also wrote that if you do fall, if you do mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ Himself will plead your cause. He will restore you. He will bring you back. He doesn't have to be crucified again to do it. That one crucifixion is all you needed. Even if you trampled on the blood of it, the foundation that brought you in is the foundation that will continue to build you up, even if you have to start all over.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because once we've tasted this good word of God and the powers to come, it's just, it's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's just good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9. Well, I'll just read into it. I'll finish shortly. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat, for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now he's teaching a lesson here. If you get yourself in a mess, you know, put on the brakes. Don't get like some people, you know, they've messed up, so they just give up. You know, they just give up and say, what's the use? And they go back to their old cursing and their old bad living and all that. Look, they're just, you know, they become like that which deserves to be cursed and burned. Because Jesus won't put up with that. I don't care how often you recovered yourself and how strong you've been in the Lord. You don't do that. You have to get past all that. Amen. Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. He's talking to some people that love God, went forward with God, should be teaching others about God, but have a need to be taught, and they need to be babied. And so he's saying, I'm persuaded that you're not to the point where you're going around cursing and swearing and messing your life up even, you know, to that degree. He's saying, I'm writing to you and I'm talking to you folks that are still in the church, but you're not doing what you could be doing or should be doing, and you're not hearing what you should be hearing and not saying what you should be saying. I'm persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, and that's why I'm speaking like I'm speaking. That's what this writer is saying. In other words, I'm not addressing somebody that's gotten so far out in the world that they've messed their minds up and gotten to the point where they can't even think straight and they believe their own lies and they're going to be damned unless something really gets their attention and shakes them up, turns them around to where they call on God. I'm talking about those of you that are still in the church. And you need to be helping others to get in the church with the knowledge you should have by now, the strength you should have gained by now, the ability you should have. Amen. Because of the way you've been living for God and the time that you've been a part of this and the experiences that you have that have brought you to this point, I'm saying to you, I don't think you're lost. I just think that you need to get past being a baby and set your affections on things eternal and start looking up again and look at that goal which is there before you, realizing the foundation of God is where it was, but you don't have to stay back where you were. Hallelujah. Because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Don't you want to do that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to jump. I got another 2 hours to go with this, but I'm going to skip two of them and go into the last 2 or 3 minutes. There's a deep lesson here with many scriptures I could bring you, but we'll get into them sometime. Not that we have to, but it's good to remind ourselves. Because there might be a minister. In fact, I know of at least 2 ministers are out there tonight who are listening. Perhaps one of you, maybe both of you, maybe others that I don't know about. Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name people. I know one of my friends has had some really hard things happen to him, but he's hanging in there. He's hanging in there. Perhaps you needed to hear this. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I know this, that we've got a great God. And there's a lot of good teaching here to teach you how to continue to live for God. And we should not, just because things go wrong, have to spend a lot of time going back and being taught how to get started. Amen. I mean, we might have to remind each other, you know, what you need now is a little love, a little tension, a little care. And let me tell you how good God is and how wonderful it is to serve God and spend just a little time and have a glass of milk. Amen. Sweet milk. Some good, sincere word of God that will make you feel happy again. Get past it. Don't just stay there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And you need to come on back to the hope that's there before you. Come on back up to where you're supposed to be. Because God has not forgotten. Even though you might have forgotten where you are, God has not forgotten your labor of love. God has not forgotten you. And you might be a baby just drinking milk right now, but God hasn't forgotten that you were a baby and you've gone through the fire. Many times you've done great things, but something happened, tripped you up, and you became needful to be taught and to be taken care of again when you should be teaching and helping others. So here's your milk. Get your strength, and let's come back and get some meat. Let's start chewing on the meat again. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples at the well, when the woman was at the well, He said, I have meat that you know not of. And He was really just, when He was talking about that meat, He was just talking about reaching out and winning others. He was just talking about influencing other people to know about living water, the bread of life, the good things to come. And they were concerned about how we're going to make it now. They were being babies. You know, I want to eat. I want to drink something, you know. And He spent all that time. He was probably just as hungry as they were. But He was talking about something that satisfies the longing of the soul. And He said, I have meat. And my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And that's your meat too. That's my meat. It's not, let me tell you about the 10 toes of Daniel's vision. That's not necessarily meat. Hallelujah. Meat is to do the will of Him that sent us. And don't be brats while we're trying to do the will of God. Amen. But if you are a brat, stay in God's kingdom until we can get you nourished and bring you back to where you should be. Don't fall off the wagon completely. Remember, there is a real God. Let's praise Him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Because God hadn't forgotten you. God hadn't forgot those blessings you received. God hasn't forgotten those good times of faith and prayer. They're still there. Amen. You just need to recover yourself in God. You know, we have a lot in the Word of God about convictions. There's a young lady here a few years ago who's moved away. She's not here. But she said, I can't really fit in with all these people here. I don't have convictions like they do. You know, and that word conviction, most people don't even know. When we talk about convictions, we're not talking about what most people seemingly think they understand. But if you get in trouble with the law, you'll learn something about what conviction's all about. If you ever really get convicted of something, what's going to happen is you're either going to be found guilty or innocent. You know, if you're convicted, it means you're guilty. And what we need to grab a hold of is some convictions. And what I'm talking about is, I'm not talking about man-made legalistic holiness standards now. I'm talking about something beyond that, deeper than that. I'm talking about convictions. I'm talking about coming to a place where you're guilty of something and you're convicted of it. In other words, you've put your trust in Jesus. And it's not just words. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just a belief. But you're guilty. And you're convicted. And that's a good one to have. Hallelujah. I have convictions tonight. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I'm convicted that I walk with Him. In other words, if you want to know whether or not I'm walking with Him or not, I'll just tell you right now, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I've been convicted and found guilty. Now, these convictions, a lot of people talk about concerning hair and dress and so forth. If you're ever convicted of something, then you will change and you will show the whole world you're guilty of what you've been convicted of. These people that say, I have no conviction, therefore I do this or do that or don't do this or don't do that, you know, well, that's worldly type thinking. That's carnal thinking. I'm talking about convictions as according to the Word of God. When you get past being a baby and you can hear some of these things. I'm talking about being put on trial and found guilty of being a God person in a cruel world. Being led by the Spirit of God. I'm convicted of this and I'm guilty of this. If you get to that point, you'll never turn back. Because when God convicts you of something like this, He puts you in jail. He puts you in prison. He binds you with a chain that's hooked to Him and you. And everywhere He goes, He takes you with Him. You're hooked to Jesus. You're hooked on the Word of God. You're a prisoner of love. You have been convicted and found guilty of being a child of God. And everywhere you find yourself, you're a prisoner of love. And to not be fully convinced means that you may not be convicted. The jury's still out on you. And when it comes to hair, makeup, or any of these things, some of these things are they vary from church to church, congregation to congregation, person to person. No two people see everything alike. But I want to tell you something, as far as my part concerned, I'm convicted and guilty. Although it may not show too much right now, but I believe that I should cut my hair. Okay? I'm talking about hair, let's talk about my hair. I believe that I should cut my hair. So what do? I cut it once in a while. If I ever stop cutting it, then what we thought was a conviction turned out it wasn't a conviction after all. But a conviction means that as long as I live, as long as I have hair, it's going to get cut once in a while. I'm convicted that I'm going to wear men's clothing. I'm guilty. Let's all stand. It'd be silly of me to come up here and say, you know, I would wear pants, but I'm not convicted. So that's why I'm wearing a skirt tonight. Now, I have convictions about these things. If you see me walking down the street, whatever it is I'm wearing, it'll be that pertains to a man. I'll be guilty. I don't care how many fags come along. I don't care how many unisex programs they have out there. How legalized everything gets. You're going to find me being what I am. Guilty. I believe marriage is for a man and a woman and not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And if I end up in prison, I'll never marry two fags together. Praise God. I got a conviction about that. If you ever get a conviction about anything, then it'll stay there. You'll be guilty. You'll never change. You'll never veer from it. And I want to tell you something else I'm convicted of. I am guilty of believing that from now, between now and when I die, that we're going to see a revival beyond anything we've ever imagined right here in this place. And I'm going to live according to that conviction and go forward reaching for it. Because I believe it. And no matter what happens, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to go a different way or try another thing. I'm sticking with the course that's before us. I'm sticking with the goal that's set before us. And whatever it takes for us to get there, we're on our way because conviction has come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And to talk about convictions being clothes and hair and fingernail polish and lipstick, that's baby talk. If we've got to spend all our time talking about that stuff, we might as well go join a small country, United Pentecost, Righteous and Holy Church. And just look at each other and see how each other's dressed all the time and make sure they do it right. No, I think we have chosen to be part of God's great army. Nobody has to tell you how to dress. Nobody has to tell you how to do anything. Amen. You're just here to tell others, hey, look, you want to know how to do things? Just look at me. I don't have time to talk to you about that stuff. I got too many people to win to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you get convicted of some things, it needs to come from God anyway, not from my opinion, not my legalistic understanding. It needs to come from God. If you get it from God, you won't backslide and you won't change and you won't go back. But if you do, remember, take a glass of milk, drink it, and come back up here because God hasn't forgotten those good things you've been through all these years. He's going to put you back on the great road, put strength back in you, let you enjoy the meat of doing the will of the Father. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's assemble and let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
dwell
you,
on
Jesus.
This tonight. Beautiful word of
thank
God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.